So I experienced just a small part of what it takes to produce a crop, and that's keeping it watered so that it can grow. So let's go smaller scale. How many of you have had your own garden at your house? Yeah, I expected there to be more. We know how the process goes. We go to the store, we buy some seeds or maybe some seedlings, and we take it home. And then we have to prep the soil and get it ready. And then we plant, and then we water, and then we try and keep the weeds out. And hopefully by late in the summer, the time we're in right now, we actually have a crop. We have some produce that we can enjoy. But even if, you don't have your own garden, you probably, understand how that process works, right? So we are going to be in Matthew 13 today, if you want to turn there. We are going to talk about some of the details around one of the stories that Jesus shared with his followers. And at the beginning of this chapter, we find that Jesus is next to the sea. He has a crowd of people around him. And apparently, to get a little personal space, he steps into a boat that's next to the water. And it doesn't really say that he was in the water, but regardless, he steps into this boat, and he sits down, and he begins speaking to the people. And he starts with what may be a familiar parable to many of us, the parable of the sower. This is actually the first recorded parable from Jesus in Matthew. So you might wonder, well, what's a parable? A parable is just a simple story that's used to illustrate, some kind of spiritual lesson or concept. And it's a tool that Jesus used many times in his teaching. And what we're going to do today is just examine this one a bit, and we're going to take a little bit different perspective, look at it a little different, and focus a little bit more on the why than the what. More what's happening around the situation rather than exactly what the parable means, although we'll also discuss that a bit too. So, back to the parable of the sower. As you may know, Jesus tells the story of a sower who spreads his seed over different types of ground. And I'm going to read it for you here. See if I can get this working here. So we're going to pick it up in verse 3 of chapter 13. And it goes like this. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. And then he ends the story with this. He who has ears, let him hear. Okay, so just like most of us, most if not all of the people that were listening to Jesus would probably recognize the topic he was talking about. Probably even more so than us in our modern times. These people experienced that process. Growing food was more a matter of survival in their time. It was a very important part of their lives, even if they weren't directly doing it themselves. They needed food for their animals. They needed food for their families. And then they also needed the income a crop could bring for the rest of their needs. So he ends with that phrase, he who has ears, let him hear. Well, what does that mean? This phrase Jesus also uses a few times in his teaching. And then the Apostle John also uses it when he writes the book of Revelation. And it kind of sounds similar to the phrase, give ear to my words, which is used in the Old Testament. And maybe on the surface, you would say that you would just interpret him as saying, hey, you need to listen to this. This is important. But I think when Jesus says this, he actually means more than just listen up. Obviously, he was speaking to people. I think we can probably assume that he knew they all had ears. So, what did he really mean? So, I did a little research, and I'll kind of reiterate it was just a little. And I found that the way that we interpret the English translation of this phrase, although it's mostly accurate, the way we understand it kind of in our modern time kind of lessens the meaning of that phrase. And it has to do with that word, let. When we hear that, we can kind of separate ourselves from it, and it seems like it's something that's happening outside of us, like it happens on its own. But if you think about it this way, think about when you're reading an old book or you're watching an old movie, and there's the king, okay? And the king makes the proclamation, and he says, "So let it be done." He's not really asking for permission. He's not expecting it to just happen on its own. He's making a command. Let it be done. So if we think about that phrase that way, it might be more accurate to say, "He who has ears, you must hear." And even more than hear, you must understand. So what happens next? Well, if Matthew wrote this down in the same order that the events actually took place, not what you would expect. Because Jesus evidently didn't even explain what the parable meant to the people. So now why would he go to the trouble of telling a story using terms that everyone would intimately understand and then not explain it? And then at the end, he tells everybody, if they have ears, they must understand. Well, we don't have to speculate too much because we find out in the next few verses. I won't hold you in suspense too long, but I want you to remember those questions. We're going to go down to verse 10. And then the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." So who is the one he's talking about here? Who is this one who has? I think there are a few possibilities, maybe more. The obvious choice would be the disciples, because Jesus is speaking to them. They were closest to him, they lived with him, they observed him, and they learned directly from him. They had certainly received more. Maybe Jesus could have been referring to all of Israel. Certainly he was sent to Israel first as a Jew to share the good news. They were God's chosen people, and they'd received the law, and they'd also received more. But lastly, I'd like to suggest that maybe we also might be included in that. We are those who've come after, meaning after Christ, and we've also received more. And we've been given the entire Word of God and easy access to it. It's nearly available to all, and you know, we know that the work of translating God's word into all languages is still happening. We've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, and because of what he accomplished, his death and his resurrection, he went back to the Father so the Holy Spirit could come and empower those who would come after and believe. So if that's true, and we can include ourselves in that, and I think we can probably say that it could mean all of those people groups, well, then we can read the next few verses as both a blessing, a word of warning, and an encouragement. So we'll go down to verse 13, well, we're going to read through to verse 17. Jesus said this. He said, "This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and with their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you," "For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it." I think we can probably agree that we all want to be those who are blessed because we actually see and hear what he's saying, and not those whose heart has grown dull. It's easy to understand, though, that in this world of noise and distractions, we could become dull. But we've been given more. We as believers have been given a responsibility, and that's to listen to what he said and try and understand it and let it change us. We have a responsibility to seek and understand what he is saying. The disciples' response is what ours should be, because they said, "Hey, Jesus, what does that mean? Why are you teaching in parables? Why didn't he explain the parable to the crowd?" Yes, it was to fulfill scripture, but also I think he must have known that some wouldn't listen. Some would say, "Oh, that's a nice story," but not take it to heart, not let it change their thinking. Others just wouldn't understand. Some would just leave it there and go on with their lives. That shouldn't be our response. So after all this, Jesus then actually explains the parable of the sower to his disciples. And he likens the ground to the hearts of the different kinds of people. Each who received the word, the gospel, God's word. Because of their condition, though, of their own hearts, some of them aren't able to mature to the point where they produce fruit. And I think knowing what our responsibility is, it just kind of deepens the meaning of this parable. I find it amazing that it's almost a self-fulfilling prophecy, because Jesus spoke it and it actually happened. In his grace, though, he actually ended his parable, though, with those words, "You must understand." It wasn't just that the sower was carelessly throwing around the seed everywhere. The truth is, the listener has a responsibility to respond to what he or she has heard. And not just to respond, but to take care of it continuously. Just like growing plants in your garden, you have to tend them, you have to water them, you have to keep out the weeds if it's going to someday produce a crop. So I just want to encourage you today. Over the last few weeks, we've been talking a lot about our mission, our vision, and our values, and why is that? Well, certainly it's because we need to, you know, rally around some common goals so we can accomplish what God has before us. But more importantly, it's because we know there's going to be a harvest. And it's a harvest that happens in our own lives. It's a harvest that we hope happens in the lives of those around us. And it's also the harvest that comes when he returns to take us home. If we're on mission, we can see it unfold before us. You know, we are continually sowing all the time. And sometimes we see the fruit, sometimes we don't. But we know it matters because the harvest is coming. There will be a crop of some kind. And it matters because God's word tells us so. So I just want to pray before we close here today. And if you would just agree with me, let's make sure that we take our responsibility seriously and do our best to try and listen to what God says to us and understand it so that it can actually produce fruit in our lives and that we can produce a crop that lasts. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us through it, Lord. Thank you for the gift that it is to us that we have free and open access to it, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you would help our roots grow deep, Lord. Help us take seriously what you say. Search out your word and know what you mean and understand so that our lives can be changed and that we'll produce fruit for you, for the kingdom. Thank you, Lord. In your name. Amen. So lastly, I just want to encourage you also. I know that these COVID restrictions and all the limitations and whatnot on our lives might be wearing a bit thin on you. It certainly is me. It affects, you know, all the activities and whatnot that we're trying to accomplish. It impacts a lot of things. We've had to kind of change the events and activities that we would like to do because of it, even here at church. It's great to see you all here today, though. I'm glad you're here. I just want to encourage you and tell you that it won't always be this way. And this will end at some point, and we'll be able to do the things that we need to do again. So still may be a ways off. We don't know, but we'll get there. So before you leave today, make sure you take the time to talk to somebody, encourage each other, and make sure you're connecting with other people. Let's be the body of Christ to each other. Don't forget about Project Hope. If you're involved in that, that's awesome. If you're not involved with it, that's okay too. Be praying for that event, that people will get touched and be blessed, and that it'll accomplish what God wants to do through it. Thank you all. Thanks for being here today. Have a great week.